good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and I have wonderful guests in the studio with me. Very excited. And both genders this time.
Yeah, that's good. My name's Dave Corrado. I'm a stand-up comic, and sitting to my right, I have not really had the pleasure of speaking with you, Delia. Delia, I'm sorry.
Please introduce yourself, my darling.
Hello, everybody. Yeah. My name is Delia Brocato. I am the host of Delia's Dark Side on Sundays at 4 p.m., very happy to be on your show finally.
Thank you, honey. It was such a blast to be on your show.
Yeah.
And we started discussing fetishes and a lot of other things that were so intriguing. Mm-hmm. And I would love to carry on and talk about that.
Let's go.
So before I start presenting everything that I brought for today's show, what do you think, David, about fetishism?
Well, we all have our quirks. I'm what you might call, I'm kind of vanilla, you know.
You said it.
I was told today that I was Disneyland.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I love that. That sounds good.
Yeah, Jimmy Cabs told me I was Disneyland.
Yeah, well, we love Jimmy. Yeah. I'm trying to get him on the show.
I mean, you know, maybe I'm like kind of orally fixated, I suppose.
And, yeah.
You know. And,
on what?
Well, boobs and pussy and stuff.
So you like licking boobs and you like eating pussy.
And kissing, too. Actually, that's
after my own heart.
That's my thing. I mean, that's really all I, you know.
It's not, so you don't have like a hidden secret crush on something like a body part or a trait or something. I don't know. I'm in love with flight attendants. I have a fetish for, you know, like, I don't know, like for instance, no, I don't really have it,
mm-hmm.
but
really?
Like for you,
oh.
I don't know, like, or I don't know, a teacher,
I have a
or
breast
a meter maid.
Really?
I did not notice that.
It's a good thing there's like a computer that blocking my view, so I can't, I don't get distracted.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, but what do you, so David says he's vanilla,
mm-hmm.
and Adelia is not.
No. You're into all kinds of stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, on my show, you know, I touch a lot on, like, you know, necrophilia and just, like, different, you know, fetishes and stuff. Obviously, I have never fucked a dead person, but I've, you know, I used to be a phone sex operator. And
Tell me a little about that.
It was very fun. Actually, I enjoy doing the 1-800 numbers more than the 900, because the 900, you have to kind of modify words. Like, you can't say pussy. You have to say
are restricting?
Yeah, like my mm-hmm. seething gash or some shit. Like, you
oh,
know,
please, you know, your seething like, gash.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
Yeah, but the fetish lines, you know, I really made a lot of money doing that. This is like back in the late 90s when phone sex operating, you know, being a phone sex operator was like really cool, and it was the end thing.
Yeah. It was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I got a couple calls from guys who, you know, like to fuck dead people.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the most common thing that you came across when you were an operator?
The common thing that I came across was just like, you know, a lot of men like cross-dressing. That was very common.
Yes.
Cross-dressing.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, they just like to talk about it back then. You know. And then when I used to do it like about 5 years ago, I had to be the cross-dresser. Like, they had lines now where guys would call and you play the cross-dresser.
Right.
Yeah. So they give you like the script or whatever you have to, you know, you have to read. And, you know, you just talk about like, you know, you're taking these kind of hormones or whatever. Because some of the guys
really,
would be
so
like,
you're very attentive to their interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually we discussed it on one of the shows, and we spoke about how very fitting into people's fantasies mm-hmm. are these lines, because you're actually kind of feeding into whatever they're interested in. I mean, you're gonna be whatever they want you to be,
right?
And it's kind of in the manual, if I remember correctly, how they kind of certify you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you exactly what words you need to use or what acts you should use, right?
Right.
I mean, they kind of tell you, be this, be that, be the virgin, mm-hmm. be the right?
Yeah, everything they give you like a thick, almost like a book.
Right, it's a manual.
Yeah.
And they tell you exactly what words and and what are you into tonight, you know, and stuff like that. Because they really look at David and like, squirt. What can I do for you tonight? Yeah. You know, kind of that thing. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know a lot about it. And so so you came across a lot of cross-dressers. And what other fetishes were common for men?
Men who wanted to fuck, you know, young girls, you know.
Underage. Well, yeah. Barely legal.
Yeah. I'm talking like not legal, like.
Nine
years old.
Yes.
11, 13 year old.
And we were talking about Lolita.
Yeah.
That's not kosher.
Nobuchov's Lolita. It's not kosher
it's not
at
kosher.
All.
It's not kosher.
No.
Yeah.
And so it's true. It's not kosher. Mm-hmm. And
Or but, incest.
Or incest. Yeah. Incest is very like involved. I'm telling you. My grandma is like, yeah.
She's quelling right now.
Quelling. Honestly. But it's really very common.
Yeah.
And almost, you know, to the extent that, and I'm not going to really insist on talking about it because I don't know about how much does the audience want to hear about it. But honestly, and being truthful, a lot of men have this fantasy about having sex with a very young girl.
Yes.
Not necessarily, most of them will not admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And David is not one of them.
No. I tend to go...
You prefer the mature woman.
I think that, like, when I, you know, became sexual, I was always attracted to, like, older women. I mean, like, teachers, you know, supervisors.
Yeah, authorities.
Authority, yeah. So,
I'd
and
like
I still have
authority.
That. And I'm an alter cocker. I'm an old fart. And so now it's
right,
like, you know,
really?
this half of these MILFs on the porn sites are, like, could be my daughter.
It's like, I know. It's like a MILF. She's
30. Yeah, I know. It's, you know... But it's still, I still have that fantasy in my brain of like, you know, older women like seducing me and, you know.
Yeah. And in your fantasy, how does that go? Because I'm dying to hear like one of your, let's say a teacher is taking you to a private room and spanks you.
you know, it's so funny when you watch. All right, if you're the kind of person who watches porn on the internet,
yes,
like
it's everybody.
I'm not saying me,
that's the
but like
of
somebody
person.
Else, somebody
Pat, are you
else.
Listening?
You know, it's like you know, you you Google busty teacher, you know, and then like something comes up, and it's like it's always the same thing. It's like you have not been paying attention to your grades are falling off.
Yes.
It's always the
you're
same
staying
script.
In detention.
Yeah. It goes, why are you so distracted? And it's like she's got, you know, humongous.
Huge boobs.
Yeah. And
obviously.
She
why
goes,
are you
well,
distracted?
Let's just take care of this right now so you can concentrate
you
on your grades.
Your,
yeah, so
yes.
You can do your algebra or grammar or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, the scripts are very repetitive. And
they're not that original, you know. Yeah, the guy always comes to fix the pipes.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Woman has, you know,
the
everything.
Plumber.
Yes,
coming
there's
to lay
always
some
a plumber. And, like, he doesn't come with tools. I don't know.
Just his shirt half unbuttoned with all these muscles and shit.
Just his own tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's coming, you know. Yeah.
Another one is, like, the mother comes home and finds the two teens, like, you know, screwing. And she's like...
Now
how dare
I'm
you do this
show
in
you.
My house?
Yeah.
Let me show you how to do it right.
You're not doing it right yet.
I love that. That's great. So that's your major fantasy, like the, when someone older, more mature, experienced takes over. That's like the kind of fantasy.
I guess, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Because you know, I'm asking you as the representative of the male society here, and I want to say that I came across a recent study. It asked men, first of all, I just want to say that it kind of affirmed the whole idea that men are one track mind. They can't really focus. I don't know how you guys can focus on two boobs. I mean, it's two.
I figured out how to do it.
Really? It's like massage the one and suckle on the other. But yeah, but seriously, it's really hard for men to stay focused on two things at the same time. It's really not... It's really not. It's a biological thing. You know, women are more using of their right side of their hemisphere, and you know, the right hemisphere and the right side of the brain, and women are more able to multitask. But in general, men were asked how would their ideal day look like? What will they do on their ideal day in terms of how many hours will you spend having sex? How many hours will you spend eating? how many hours will you spend jerking off? I don't know, playing, talking to your friends, whatever. What do you think, you guys? Let me hear both of you.
Well, how many hours will I spend, what, eating?
Well, you as a woman, I'm sure it would be different, but what is your assumption?
Well, it'll probably be both. Remember, we touched on, I'm bisexual, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would eat pussy that long. I don't know, probably. I don't know. I kind of liked it last time I did it.
Yeah. yeah, it depends. So you would spend a few.
Yeah, I mean, until, yeah, she came, yeah. No, I don't want her to come because I want to scissor her.
So, nice.
But I mean, you know, it all depends on when I'm drunk. I feel like I really get into, like, you know, giving, you know, sucking dick or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really did it while I was sober anymore because we mostly when we get into sex, it's like when we're both drunk.
Yeah.
Speaking about you and your hubby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's like otherwise, you know, he's too stressed out. And sometimes I want to, you know, do it, you know, when we're sober.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times I don't remember.
Right. And that's unfortunate. Because
like, we had sex last night. I'm like, we did.
Oh, I like to remember these things because for me, for instance, and I know that a lot of women that I come across, either work-wise or friends, I think that, and I like porn, you know, watching porn is a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
But in general, I think that since our minds are so fascinating, a lot of the experiences can be usable as, you know, as masturbatory material. Mm-hmm. And I find that many times that previous activities or previous encounters can really be usable for that. And you don't really have to go into new porn or other stuff. Mm-hmm. So to me, but if you're drunk or you're under some influence, then you can remember and then it's not usable. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's like to me to stay, I don't really drink or do any drugs. But in general, and it's funny because I'm drinking out of. I have to tell the viewers.
She's drinking.
It's water. It's water, but we don't have a cup here. So I'm drinking from this little thing, and I'm like reserving. I'm like taking little sips. But it's like so for me, the experience of having sober sex is probably the most important factor because I can really reuse it.
Right.
And when you're doing it under and you don't remember, it's kind of like you're lacking something.
Yeah.
Don't you feel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel, David?
Well, you know that men are more visual than women, right?
That's the assumption. I kind of find that it doesn't necessarily prove itself, but yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at porn, when I was younger and I hornier, I mean, I could like.
You are plenty horny now.
I'm okay for my age, I guess. But yes. You know, when I was a kid, like 16,
yes,
I could just think about some girl that I saw in English class, and then go home and
masturbate.
Yeah, exactly.
I can do that now.
Definitely, me too. Especially English class.
I guess I need more visual stimulation now.
Right.
Being a little older.
So you need to see the actual act in order to get aroused, like more preferably, maybe.
Yeah, well, the act and or even like just the scenario, you know, like we were talking about before, you know, like.
Like the woman, the teacher or the mother or something like that. Yeah. So the English class needs to be more elaborate now.
It's like I'm slowing down is what I'm saying. I'm heading towards retirement.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, right.
I got one foot in the grave. So.
Yeah, really.
Just like Dave touched on, you know, being, you know, 16, I had this similar experience I was talking about with Goth Mark last week when he was on my show. When I was in junior high school,
yes,
I, you know, had fantasies. I would fantasize about guys all day, boys. Mm-hmm. And I would, get wet.
Yeah.
And stay wet all day. And I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
It was like soggy in my underwear.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear all the time.
It affects my grades and everything because all I would do is sit up there and just think about him kissing me or him finger banging me because I didn't know anything about dick at that time.
Yeah, so, it was early.
Yeah. I was like 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I started having sex early.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, about 14.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But he was my boyfriend. Poor thing. He never, I always laugh that I kind of fucked him up, I think. Because he never got married and he's like single and still kind of traveling the world in search of, I don't know what.
How did you fuck him up?
I literally fucked him. So, but yeah.
There'll never be another like you, Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar, isn't it kind of, ideally, don't you think it's kind of shocking that, like, you were raised in Israel,
right,
which is a kind of a conservative culture.
The assumption, I was raised secular. So if you are secular, then you don't really know. Obviously, I don't practice anything. It's pretty obvious. But yeah, the country in general, you know, Judaism and everything is more intense. But yeah, but if you don't practice it, then yeah, no, not at all.
Hmm. But we were talking about, like, when I was younger, like, guys get these things called nuisance boners. Like,
that's a good term. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that.
I think I was like taking.
Is that a nuisance?
Like in high school? Well, no. Like just before you have to, like, the bell rings and you have to, like, walk to the door
and you're like kinda, you're in an
you're
erection.
You're kind of hunched over. Yeah.
Yeah, because it pulls you down.
Really?
Well, yeah, I'm walking
around
with a
dick.
Making you walk hunchback and shit.
I know. It's like, no, but seriously, really, it's so bothersome.
Well, it wasn't. Well, I mean, it was just embarrassing, you know. And or in swim class.
Yeah, well, but you know, in swim class, there's shrinkage because cool water.
Yeah, but if you're looking at girls,
and then you're like, your dick is confused. It's like you grow, you shrink. What am I gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah. One time, I had finished swim class, and there was this girl who really, you know, I got
did
aroused.
Did it for you.
And I had a big
boner.
I was pitching a tent. I was pitching a tent, and some other guy says, "That's gross."
It's like
jealous. No, it's natural.
But you know,
yeah,
those are my younger days. Those
it's very sweet and natural. Mm-hmm. But I was mentioning that because when men were asked what would their ideal day would be. It's so funny because men are so trivial. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's not complex. As you said, you see a girl in swim class, you know, you get aroused, you get a tent. So, but in general,
you
get a tent. But men were so funny. They would spend half an hour grooming. They weren't big groomers. I know some men that are huge groomers. Mm-hmm. But in general, men were not so infatuated with the whole idea of taking care of their bodily hair and whatever. So they would do half an hour grooming, 2.5 hours eating and drinking, that's all, 3.5 hours seeing friends and family, working and sleeping, and 4.5 hours having sex. So the top priority and the top activity was still having sex. How do you guys feel about it? Does that make sense?
Oh, God. I wish I had 4.5.
I know.
I wish I had like
4.5 hours a day.
I'm minus 4.5
hours. You know
hours.
How big my smile would be? No, I had to run out of the house.
Like, get away from me.
What?
I mean, well, you know, unless you count masturbation, that's the most.
But masturbation can be a long, you know, right, activity, right? It could be long, prolonged.
Yeah, especially on weekends when
I have time. Yeah, I know, you have time and it's all there. But but men were so funny because all these other activities, even seeing friends or even eating or drinking or sleeping, you know, that was interesting to me. Because I'm curious about how you feel. I mean, does that make sense that, and I'm talking average age between, I don't know, 30 and 45, that was the average male questioned. Do you think that it falls into, like, for your life, for instance, would you pick that activity as the most profound, intense factor in your life as a daily basis?
I think as I'm getting older, I'm more, like, into getting socializing. You know, stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And so in stand-up, you really need feedback. You need
from the audience. It's a give and take.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same with sex. And
obviously.
Very true. Yeah. If it's only give, get the fuck away. I'm done here.
Then you become a necrophiliac.
Yeah, it's like I'm doing all the work. Yeah. She's just laying there.
Yeah.
So, I was socializing. Like this weekend, I had a great weekend. I did a show Friday night. I did a show Saturday night. I saw an old friend who came into town. We got together. We had a lunch. Lunch today, and I don't know, and seeing my parents and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know. That's like becoming kind of my thing, I think.
So the socializing would be for you more important in a daily routine than sex.
Well,
I'm just curious.
I didn't choose it that way.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, I get the urge to, you know, I see somebody, you know, a girl or something, and then, you know, I need to go.
And then
take
you change your
business.
Mind. And then you're like, that sounds interesting to spend 4 hours doing that. Mm-hmm.
But getting somebody to laugh is almost like a conquering experience.
It is like a climax. Mm-hmm. It is very similar to a climax.
Yeah.
You know, they actually say that, and that applies to Olympic achievers, for instance, because dopamine is such an intense neurotransmitter that if it works both ways. For instance, when you climax, there's a rush of dopamine released, and then when you achieve something like when you stand in front of an audience or you achieve something really big, there's the same rush of endorphins, of dopamine. And it's equivalent. And then people may say that once they, won a medal or managed to get a good laugh from people, they were feeling physically on a verge of a climax, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I did a set last night, mm-hmm. and I was kind of struggling, I thought, a little bit. But then my closer was like, I killed.
Okay.
I mean, my clothes
are
just
like,
yeah. And they were like, just dumbfounded because what I did just, it blew their mind.
Okay.
And it's
now
like,
I'm very
wow.
curious.
Yeah, what did you do?
What did you do?
That's
like, I gave her oral sex. You almost fainted. What is it? What did you do?
I did a song and dance routine.
Oh, you did? God.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, I don't want to brag, but I'm like one of the best dancers.
Please brag.
I can dance anybody out of the room.
Really?
I am like the best.
Because you got a professional dancer right here, and I'm an instructor too, motherfucker.
Okay.
You don't want to bark up that tree.
We're going to have a dance off.
Oh, man. Priceless. Oh, my God. Really? So that's what you did? You danced and you sang?
I sang the background vocals to an Isley Brothers song.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you can do the falsetto and everything.
just the background. Because I premised it by, like, I haven't had time to learn the lead vocal. Mm-hmm. But I also went into, like, a dance thing in the middle, uh-huh. you know, during the break when the lead was
Oh, my God. And that killed
But
him.
I can do the splits.
Can you do bust like 8 Prince splits?
I can. I can do all that.
Oh, shit. You gotta get on the flow.
So tell me about the dancing. Are you an instructor?
Yeah, I'm a dance instructor. I teach Dance It Out at the Canyon Country Community Center mm-hmm. in Santa Clarita.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been a professional dancer for over 30 years.
Wow, so, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
And who do you usually train? Males, females?
Both, but it seems like only females, you know,
are more interested.
Yeah, like I'm a dance choreographer, a choreographer for the COC Dance Company for about 10 years. And everything from like, I love to choreograph like hard rock stuff.
Right.
And sometimes like it like freaks out the staff, but I'm like, you know what, whatever. You know?
I like it. Yeah. That's right. The thing is, I believe that if males took more cues from you, mm-hmm. they would, you know, because women love men.
Actually, the males in the dance company, there's males in the dance company, but like, you know, my class right now, there was only like 7 women there. Mm-hmm. But hopefully more guys will come, you know.
But I believe it's like, you know, learning the secrets of cunnilingus. Like if you're a good dancer, you know how to sweep a woman off her feet.
Right.
Yeah.
So they say.
Yeah.
Well,
if guys were smarter, they would take your class because, like, you'd have one guy and like 15 girls.
I know that's like a golden opportunity.
I know, right?
Sounds like it.
It's kind of like but if you can dance really well, it's like showboating. It's kind of like I've got powers, you know.
No,
the
but
dance
it is. It is right. It is showing. It's very true because it's showing your abilities, mm-hmm. and women do appreciate it. But I think not a lot of men are aware of how influential it could be.
women love men who know how to dance, guys.
It's very true. Yeah. It's very true. I'm a big advocate of it.
And take a dance class if you're a guy. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Well, the problem is, you know, a lot of male dancers happen to be homosexuals.
It's true, but, because, you know, getting involved in it to begin with is kind of not as manly, and most guys in a younger age would prefer, I don't know, basketball. Or
so that would be even better if, like, you know, more heterosexual men would take it, because you would stand out amongst many.
And as David said, you know, you're gonna have 15 women
all over you. And once they know you're heterosexual,
Woo! My God, yeah, it's a whole
party.
Over
that dick like flies on shit.
You're not gonna know where to put it.
You gonna fuck her or not fuck her?
I know. Let me set the variety. But I want to bring an interesting condition that is very common, again, with men, mostly with men than with women, and it's called sexsomnia. Does it tell you something before I elaborate on it? What does it sound like?
It sounds like... what is the... Omnia is like...
You're very right. She said sleep. Sleep,
yes.
Sex. Yeah, it's sleep sex. And that's a condition. That is a real condition that mostly men suffer from. Sexsomnia is a parasomnia. It's a part of the sleep disturbing factors, like apnea and other sleepwalking and other conditions. And during that, if someone is suffering from that condition, it could be really dangerous. And endangering to the person himself and to people around him. Because that could be from in-sleep masturbation to initiating sex with your partner into rape even.
You're talking about like one person having sex with another person who's asleep?
No. The person who is asleep is engaging in sexual activity with someone else who could be awake.
They're sleeping, like sleepwalking. But
right, they don't. Yeah, it's a non-REM activity, a controversy to REM activity. You know, everybody knows REM, eye movement while you're asleep. Then this specific condition happens to people as a non-REM activity. And what they do is they can get up, they can leave the house and attack somebody.
What?
As a part of that.
And sleepwalking?
Yes. It's very similar to sleepwalking, only it's aggressive.
Really?
Yes.
But you're fucking asleep.
You're asleep, but you can,
But your eyes are open.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly what the condition allows. Mm-hmm. But they claim that the best way to deal with it, especially, locking doors is a good, beginning, to really kind of close it in to a specific space and not allow the person to go and fetch, you know, other people. Uh-huh. So locking doors is a major thing. Mm. But also, you know, being very aware of it and trying to kind of avoid any disturbance or any... Why are you laughing? Because you have a scenario.
I'm just thinking of a story that I slept walked once.
Yeah. You don't suffer from that condition. It just happened.
No.
Right.
But I was a kid, I was in high school, and I guess I was stressed out, and I walked into my parents' bedroom. and my dad goes, what's wrong? And I go, we have to go make the things for the people, or something.
Yeah, you were talking in your sleep. I don't even know if you were really sleepwalking. I think you were
I don't remember it.
And that's another factor.
He's like, no, just...
That you don't
you're
remember.
You're fine. Just go back to sleep. I'm like,
You're fine. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but 11% of men suffer from it. It's a lot. From that sexsomnia, that condition. Wow. 4% of women... And it's a major problem that a lot of doctors don't even know how to, a lot of physicians don't even know how to deal with. And there really isn't a fix for it. There isn't any medication that can be given. They found that it's partially hereditary. It has to do with family related. And also drugs and alcohol can contribute to that. So just, you know, the awareness and everything to that condition. But I find it interesting that someone would just go and have, you know, imposed sex on someone and then not remember it. It's an interesting condition. Yeah. But, yeah, but and it is interesting that men suffer from it much more than women.
I've never heard of it before. I mean,
yeah, I've never heard of that.
How do you even become aroused if you're asleep? I don't know.
Well, yeah, you can have a new, you know, you can have a wet dream. Mm-hmm. So it's very similar. You know,
I've never had one in my life.
You don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe it dried out until you woke.
I started jerking off at a young age.
You slept in it.
You slept in it. Yeah, you didn't know, you know, like Delia said about her underwear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she noticed because she was awake, but maybe you had
I got snot in my panties.
When did you finally start having sex?
I was 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your experience was with a man?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
When I had intercourse, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so your experience with women was much later?
No, my first experience before, what I told you earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
The actual, you know, initiated experience.
It wasn't much later. I would say that was probably around 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, David?
Look, I'm a nerdy guy. I am socially awkward. I plead the fifth. I was in my 20s.
Oh. Okay. I couldn't close
the deal. Most guys are like, I was 9 years old and I was fucking bitches.
Yeah,
you know?
Bitches. Yes.
Yeah.
All the bitches me.
At 9 years old. No,
yes,
you know what
of
hell.
Course.
I had zits and braces and glasses and skinny and, you know, and I dressed like a nerd, and you know, it's like I still, you know, it's
But honestly, it is an interesting thing because biologically, and that's also something that they examined. They were asking how quick should you have an intercourse with or any, you know, sexual related encounter with your partner as soon as you start dating them. How do you guys feel about it? Is that something worth waiting? Is that even in the custom of waiting at this point in our society, in our Western society?
No.
No? So people immediately as they meet, they jump in bed.
Well, not as soon as you meet, but
second date?
I'm not the one to say that I've waited 3 months or 2 days, whatever. I don't know. Like if I'm attracted to you, we're going to fuck probably that night.
Okay, so it could be the first date.
Because I think you're just
chemistry.
You're just kind of holding it, and you're upsetting yourself. Like,
so you think it's a bad idea?
I think so.
Physically,
but
it's harmful.
It's like you're. What are you withholding? It's like you like this person. He likes you. Otherwise, I don't know. I kind of think that they feel like you're playing with them. It's like you get into the act a little bit. You're gonna kiss them. You're gonna dick tease them. Then you're going to send them on their way with the fucking blue balls and shit.
Right. But that's very true. But that could be maybe the question. If there's initiated any activity initiated to begin with, like touching, kissing, I don't know, caressing or whatever, laying in bed together, then it's maybe problematic to kind of say, okay.
Yeah. They'll stop.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is what you're getting today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you on your merry way, and then I'll see you next time.
Yeah, he has a big bonus.
The guy's walking to the car. Okay. So that could be a problem.
Yeah.
But maybe, and just a suggestion, I don't know. But maybe if you avoid any really intense, hectic, hot and heavy activity
to begin with,
then maybe it's possible. And if it is possible, is it worth waiting? Is it something that is worth postponing?
If you're really attracted to the guy?
Yeah.
I say let your freak flag fly, but,
go for it.
If yes, I think so, but...
Don't wait.
No.
That's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
Okay, yeah. Dave?
Well, I think if you're looking for a long-term relationship, I mean, there's got to be physical attraction.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a one-night stand, because that's obvious you go in there for that
reason. It's got to be about the person, you know.
Right.
There's got to be some chemistry or whatever, it's a puzzle piece, you know. But in terms of sexual attraction, I mean, Sometimes you there's a like a you've heard of the film Fatal Attraction.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you
don't
wind
want anybody
up,
to cook your bunny.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love my rabbit, and I don't
I
want
know,
anybody to.
Are cute.
I don't want bunny soup at all. So
it's not a delicatessen.
Yeah. No. Not for me.
Okay. So you feel like you went on first dates. I mean, with women.
I've been able to score on a second date and a first date.
Okay, but did you feel that it was worth waiting? That you, I'm curious about your view of it as a male. When you are coming across, and I'm sure you went on a date with someone who you find attractive.
Yeah, if you're really horny, I mean it's like you think it's going to be the perfect thing. I mean it's
right.
Like boom, I did it. But then
jumping in bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it can come back to haunt you, you know.
It can boomerang on you.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would you do? Like you, and let me give you a scenario. You meet a woman that you find highly attractive. She obliges and says, you know, I'm like, that's all I want to do tonight is go on a date. And she gives you the opportunity to touch her.
Well,
what
of course
would
I
do?
Would. I mean,
you would.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Because if you think that, no, because you said
I'm not going to hold back, you know.
Okay. But if it's a long, you want something that is long term,
well,
would you consider maybe we should, you know, I don't know if she'll approach you and, you know, offer herself, but she'll, you know, kind of be.
Well, the repercussions sometimes outweigh the initial gratification.
Right. But this is the point. Yes.
You know.
So what would you. You would wait or jump
no,
into
I
it?
No, I wouldn't. I still wouldn't. I mean, you know, if I'm with a girl and I'm attracted to her and
you
she gives me the
it.
Opportunity,
yeah.
Shoot, you know, I'm going
to. How about a woman that would want you to wait? Would you wait?
If I really liked her and I was
how
really.
How long?
How long?
2, 3, 10 dates?
I guess. I've heard like
which one is
different,
it?
How long? I don't know. I guess I would wait. Look, because I can always go home
and
self gratify.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but
go
it's
on
true.
The internet.
The reason I'm asking is because a number of studies suggested that we are biologically hardwired to kind of good things come to those who wait. That's like our biological hardwiring. Mm-hmm. And they claim that women that kind of alluded to the anticipation and having their men waiting and checked upon it if that man would wait, kind of scored the right providers or the right men for the job. For instance, to be a good father, to sire, good sperm, to good kids, other factors that they factored in. Mm-hmm. So the question is really if that is not a game. For instance, that it's not the woman is trying to blue ball you. Or Jesse, she really is interested in you.
Right.
But she wants to see if you are going to hang in there. She wants to see if you're not going to just, lose interest if she doesn't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot because in this day and age in our society, most people are jumping in bed.
Right.
I'm not saying yes or no, good or bad. I'm just saying, to the factor of, is it really representative of how good this diet would be? Is this going to work out? And the researchers said that people that did have the tendency to wait and kind of hold and hang in there created the ability to create to found an a good coupledom.
I used to work, there was a girl who she was very nice.
Yeah.
And she was a Muslim.
Okay.
And I don't have that many Muslim friends. I have, a couple.
Just a few.
But she was a really sweet person. And when I was going through this thing with this one girlfriend, she's like, no, you did it too quick. It was like, it's like you can't just jump into it like that.
Okay.
And
she
then
said to you that you jumped into it too quick?
That's what she said.
How quick was it?
It was on the second date.
Okay. And she said if you had waited, it would have been better?
I don't know. She just seemed to have some kind of wisdom about her, and
well, she comes from a society and culture that doesn't, necessarily really condone that kind of behavior. No, but you understand that the Muslim, you know, if she's a Muslim. Honestly, no, but isn't that what you suggested? No?
Well, I'm just thinking about this time she was on the phone with somebody, and you know, I was flirting with her for a long time, and finally she's like gets off the phone. She goes, "That was my boyfriend."
Okay.
And I go, "Have you done the nasty yet?"
The nasty.
And she goes, "Goodbye."
She was a guest. She didn't want to talk about it.
No.
She felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, so I mean,
But
still,
aren't a lot of them, like, very, like,
yeah, it's. I think that it's a cultural thing.
But I couldn't, when I first met her, I could not tell that she was a Muslim because she would wear these, like, low-cut, like, tops.
Really?
And because in her country,
she was not
they
modest.
Have to be all covered up.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't modest. Yeah.
No.
Well, maybe she was a secular Muslim.
No, she was actually very involved in the
she was
community.
Religious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think it was more for maybe a, you know, just a social gratification and, you know, the being part of.
Right, just to
like
take
an
part
outlet.
In society.
Like
right.
like the what we're doing here. We're talking on the podcast because it's an outlet, right? Creatively.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Okay, so this is she engaged in it as just an outlet.
I think so.
Okay. Well, we were discussing how early should one have sex, and I don't know, we you started not as early, and David didn't reveal it, but he was in his 20s. I was the worst. I was the juvenile delinquent.
Well, you had the looks. You two gals had the looks.
Let me just jump and attack you, the poor thing. But seriously, they found that guys, you know, in... in a society where it was, and I wasn't kidding, you know, juvenile delinquency was more fitting into the early age of having sex. Mm-hmm. And males were actually engaging in full sexual activity at 12 and a half.
Yeah.
Mm. At 12:30. They were very early age starting to have sex, mostly with women that were older than them. Which I find very interesting. Mm. And a lot of, you know, yeah, a lot of these guys, for instance, I think the story of Mary Kay LaTourneur, I don't know if you remember, you guys remember that story? The school teacher with the...
From Florida, I believe.
I think she was Floridian, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. She
Is that Washington? That pretty blonde teacher?
Yeah.
She was very good looking.
And she was very good looking, but they had a few kids, and they are together now.
Are they still? They're still together.
Yes.
She's with the kid that she molested.
She's with She's with that kid, and they have three or four kids.
Is he 18 now?
He matured ever since. Yes. This happened, I believe, in the late 90s or something.
I thought they broke up, but
they never broke up. She was forced to separate from him, because he was 12.
But she went to jail, too.
She went to jail for a long time, and she gave birth to their second child in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, yeah. And
so they gave him conjugal visits then?
Yes. Well, to begin with, they didn't allow her anything because she was supposed to not meet him. And due to the fact that they did meet in his car one time, she got pregnant the second time. Yeah. So that is a prime example that the young ones, and he was really from a problematic family and kind of a... shady background. Yeah. And that's what the studies show, that these kids are mostly prone to early sexual activity, which I find very interesting. But still, the boys were much younger than the girls. So the boys were usually having sex with older women.
Well, there's a double standard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like guys, like myself, wish, it's like, it's like I wish my, you know, Debbie Leigh Tourneau or whatever would have hit on me when I was 13.
Mary Kay LaTourneau.
Whatever her name is. But,
she was really pretty.
Yeah, she was.
But if a male teacher...
It is a double standard.
Yeah, because guys just want to score, you know.
It's very true. You know, in this story of Mary Kay LaTourneau, for that matter...
What do I call her? Tourneau?
I don't know.
You made your own name.
You made like a Debbie Does Dallas kind of, right? That's what you made her into. But the thing is, really, it is a double standard, and David is very right. When it comes to that specific story, it was really like almost like a masturbation thing, and everybody was like, oh, I wish my teacher was doing that. I had sex with... Yeah, and actually they did, both of them as a couple, hosted evenings that were named Hot for Teacher.
Oh.
And when she was released from jail and everything. But the public saw it very badly, very badly in terms of law-wise, because she, you know, literally raped a child, you know, molested or whatever they want to call it. But in terms of the view of it, they made movies into of it. They made there were books and everything. It was very sexy and kind of a fun talk conversations. Mm-hmm. But when you have a male, older male, hooking up with a younger woman,
nobody
looks at it in a fun way.
Yeah.
And I think that even when the female is not as young, like let's, for instance, give the example of Woody Allen and his and the girl. Who is not his girl, and I don't, you know, it's not my place.
His daughter?
His biological
She's not
daughter.
His biological daughter.
Right. No, I think
she's adopted.
I still think that's kind of gross.
Are you sure?
She's Asian.
Yeah.
She's, she was not even his. She was Mia Farrow's daughter, general, adopted daughter. But I just, and it's not my place to say if I condone it or I condemn it. But I will say this, that everybody was against it and everybody was for like supporting Mia Farrow when it happened. And I'm giving this example because it's a well-known story. Mm-hmm. And the woman, Sue, I don't remember her exact name.
Sun Yi.
Yeah. She was 20, I think.
Sun Yi Previn.
Yeah, Previn. Yeah, she was from Mia Farrow's marriage to the previous husband. But the thing is, she was 20. She wasn't a child. She wasn't underage. Mm-hmm. And still, he was the... And I'm not, you know, again, but not saying... He was still the dirty old man. Nobody was saying, oh, what a great fuck.
Right. No, but I'm telling you, I mean, this has been in the news. His biological daughter named Dylan. Yeah, mm-hmm. has accused him of molesting her when she was like 8.
Well, she accused him of being a bad father. I don't know about molesting, but she was, I think it was, the whole idea was that everybody was against that duo, that diet of her, of Woody Allen and that girl.
It's so hard for me because this guy, Woody Allen, is like, he's made some of the best comedies I've seen in my life, you know? And
I think you take a lot from his neurotic tendencies.
I don't know, maybe.
But that's a compliment. I love Woody Allen as a comedian.
I had a picture of him on my wall, and I took it down because I just...
were upset.
I was, I mean, look, it's a kind of a he said, she said kind of a deal. Nobody knows what happened
in
exactly.
In terms of Dylan or in terms of...
With Dylan,
okay.
She said something happened up in the attic, and I don't know.
I'm talking about the whole idea of hooking up with a younger woman. The man in this equation will always be looked as the dirty old man. But once a teacher, and this didn't happen once in the States. I can think of at least 5 situations where a teacher was having a relationship with a student, with a male student. Mm-hmm. A female teacher... with a male student, a few times, all of them gorgeous, beautiful blondes. Mm. I always remember they were all like these gorgeous, like Kelly, Christie Brinkley kind of look.
The more kind of looking chick.
They were really like hot women. And everybody was like so excited and making such a porno out of it, you know? and this is really, what does it say about us as society? I mean, is this acceptable because the boy is a boy? Just gender-wise?
Well, I think the supposition is that males, like, if you're getting laid when you're 13, you should be grateful, you know?
Just be happy that someone got in your pants.
Yeah, it's like, so, it's like, why would you tell your parents? I mean, you got a good thing going on, you know?
Maybe she pissed him off or something. And he's like, all right, well, I know I can fucking get how to get back at you. So he went back and told his parents.
No,
to
she
get
got
back
pregnant. That's why.
He's like, oh, mama.
She got pregnant, and that's why. I mean, that was the thing. But the troublesome thing is that society looks at it one way, and then, you know, law-wise, it was completely wrong. But everybody was masturbating about this thing. Right? As a society, we're, like, really screwed. Fucked up. Tell me more about your experience, honey.
What experiences do you want to know?
Sexual.
Sexual?
Whatever you want to share.
Well, I mean, I have...
How did you get to found that beautiful show of yours?
That actually came about 8 years ago. I've been doing this for 8 years. Actually, it started off as a Halloween show. One Halloween, I decided to get like a bunch of my, friends, radio host friends together, and we did a Halloween show, and I called it Dilliest Tales from the Dark Side, just that one time.
Yes.
And then it wasn't really about like sex or whatever. We couldn't, because for this particular radio station, it was all censored.
Right, so you can't say fuck or pussy.
No,
or
you
dick. Can
none of that. You get no, you get fine.
On this show, we have to say that, right?
We have to. Yeah. We're forced into it.
So it started off like more gothic because I was doing tarot cards, and you know, we had a Ouija board. You know, we called up spirits and stuff. I'm into
that
too.
And you actually did that?
Yeah, yeah. It started off like that, and then I decided, I was like, hey, you know, I should change my show because I was actually just doing a regular, like, music show at that point.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, this is more my speed. And I was talking with my friends and he was like, yeah, you know, that's more your speed. You know, you more of the gothic. Why don't you just do that? And then my husband and I were talking. He was like, maybe, well, why don't you call it Delia's Dark Side?
I love that.
So, yeah, for that station, it was just, you know, I would talk about, like, different serial killers. You know, just like, you know, we would like make it funny, though.
Yeah.
That's what my show is about. It's about talking about different shit like that and making it fucking funny, you know, making fun of it. It's not about like getting serious about it and like, oh, yeah,
oh,
I did
horror.
This. And yeah, you know, it's like I like to talk about these fetishes and make it funny.
Right.
Because I think like necrophilia is the funniest fucking thing.
It's
just like when my father told me about this, I was like, wow, this is like the funniest shit ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then once I got to another radio station, it was more like, you know, you can do more. So I remember telling a story about like, it was actually a fiction story, but it was about like this girl, this zombie raping this fucking girl. And he was like talking about the cold, wet dick. And like, it was just like weird. And I got a lot of, you know,
it has
people.
To be cold, of
yeah,
course.
It was cold and like just.
It's like an ice pick.
Yeah, his sloppy, wet tongue and her seething vagina and all this shit. And, you know, people loved it. So I was like, you know, and then I just like started opening up more and talking about like more sexual things and, you know, necrophilia. I would read like stories and stuff like that. And that's how that, and I just fucking think that that's the funniest, like that's the worst fetish. That's the funniest fetish in the world to me is necrophilia.
Because then people, you find, what I find interesting, and you tell me, and I want to hear David's opinion about it. But what I find interesting is that on one hand, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And people, a lot of people find it very intriguing and interesting. But on the other hand, it's so taboo.
Yeah.
That most people will not even admit that they take any interest in it.
And that's
is that
the
correct
thing.
When you come across this, talking to people about that?
Yeah, that's what I said. I rocked at the taboo on the taboo hotline because it's just, I don't know, that just kind of, it's.
Shakes your world.
Yeah,
and then,
it turned me on. Certain things turned me on. Like, I'm not going to lie. When I got the calls about the incest stuff, I did get a little turned on. Not that I want to do that, but just like certain stories, like, you know,
no, but
the
it
guys.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah, it does make sense.
And then, you know, I was able to get into the character more. And most of them didn't even want you to do character. They just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Which was really intriguing for me.
Right.
So.
Oh, I'm sure you were acing it.
Yeah.
You were probably.
Yeah, I brought home some good checks.
What were you going to say?
I can tell a quick joke. There was a comic, a dirty comic named B.S. Pulley. And he had a joke about this guy is taken to court and he's accused of raping a corpse.
Okay.
And he says. And he goes, let me say, first of all, it was just not a stranger. It was my wife. And anyway, he's got this gravelly voice. He goes, I didn't know the difference.
She's anyway laying there, half not moving.
She's always already dead and cold anyway.
I believe she was always dead. I love that. No, but seriously, it is interesting. And I feel that, and this is how I'm going to sum up our show. Before I allow you to please tell our listeners when they can find your show and how to listen to it. But in general, I think that with most fetishes, and I kind of mentioned on your show, that a fetish is something kind of common and very very acceptable. As long as it doesn't turn into a paraphilia, which is a mental condition, and then you have to be bothersome by it and be maybe treated, you know, with other, take into other factors into mind. But the thing is, most people find a lot of things arousing, including what you said about incest or whatever it is. Mm. But they're not going to socially admit it because it's so unacceptable that they're going to feel, even, you know, within themselves, subconsciously, they're going to, ugh, I can't believe that I'm aroused by this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's mainly, I believe, that's mainly the reason why most people just not admit to their interest in different taboo topics. But please tell our listeners how they can catch your wonderful show.
Well, I also have a podcast. It's DeliasDarkSideRadioShow.com. You can go there and listen to my archive show. I have an archive show with Dead Men's Party, the group that we were talking about with Richard Elfman earlier.
Yes.
Thanks again, Richard, for calling in. That was awesome. And also, you can listen to my show here at Skid Row Studios. I'm on Sundays at 4 to 5 p.m.
Right before our show.
Yeah.
So please, everybody, tune in. And it was such a pleasure having you.
It was a pleasure having you on my show as well. It rocked.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. I'll be happy to do it again.
Yeah.
And
very
David.
Nice meeting you, Delia.
You too.
And thank you,
Dr. so Lamour. Much. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and I'll see you next time.
Peace out.